Time for Pastor Pals. Y'all come on. All right. Come on, Pastor Pals. And let's have to figure out the best way to do this so everybody can see it. And, let's see. Let's put it in this chair right here and tell them to turn around. Okay. And don't let me knock it down. Okay, y'all have a seat right there and turn around and look this way. Now, yesterday, and there's the offering thing if any of y'all want to drop it inside that church. Yesterday, we had upward basketball. Now, I had a basketball coach, especially if I'm in the way of somebody, I apologize. We had a basketball coach and whenever I was in junior high, and he was always known for drawing up these game plans. And so here's what he would do. And he would set us up. He'd say, okay, we got our point guard down here. We got the wing down over here on this side. We got the wing over here on this side. Now, we got two low posts. I'm used to the basketball goals on a post. And so I want the low post down here and a low post down here. Now, I noticed that their interior defense is pretty weak, so here's what I want to do. I want the point guard to drive to the basket. I want him to drive to the basket. I mean, just drive as hard as he can and get the ball to the hole. And if he can't get the ball to the hole, I want him to dish out to the post. Dish out to him, and then he can go in and score. And if he's covered, you go over here and get him, then he can score. And then whenever the shot goes up, I want you, the wingman, to break into and get the rebound. And this guy over here to break in there and get the rebound. Man, he would just beat that board up. But when it comes to upward basketball, it ain't about basketball as much as it's about the cross. And what ended up being on that board? A cross. That's right. And basketball is fun, and cheerleading is fun. Show all those who may be out of the game plan. And cheerleading is fun, but the cross of Jesus Christ is what it's all about. So whether we can score or not in life, I done got out of breath doing all that. Preacher's out of shape. But and all that's fun and games and everything, but sharing the good news of the story of Jesus is what it's all about. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes. Dear Jesus, I thank you so very much for allowing us to have the privilege to serve you and worship you. I thank you so much for young people that come out for all the different activities. I thank you for everyone that's here this morning. And dear Lord, just help us to realize that life is all about you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Ronnie Coulter has our special this morning.
Haley Creek Boys is probably going to chew me out for using canned music. But they get over it. And it's a fella at work gave me this song, and you know, we share songs together. And I said, well, I'll try it. I liked it, so I'm going to try it. It's called It's More Than a Hill.
The oceans he made were no larger than a tear. The sound of his voice made dry land appear. He sculpted the mountain with such great skill. Yet when he made Calvary, it was more than just a hill. More than any mountain where thieves were crucified. In me came a fountain for the thirsty and dry. As he cried, "It is finished," all heaven stood still. Yet when he made Calvary, it was more than just a hymn. I was condemned, but he took my place. You see, I was in sin, but my sins he erased. He prayed, "Forgive him," while his blood was spilled. God signed my pardon on Calvary's hill. It was more than any mountain where thieves were crucified. In me came a fountain for the thirsty and dry. As he cried, "It is finished," all heaven stood still. Yet when he made Calvary, it was more than just a hymn. On a hymn far away stood an old rugged cross. When he made Calvary, when he made Calvary, it was more than just a hymn. Just a hymn.
Thank you, Brother Ronnie, and the Holy Spirit's already working. That fit my illustration just perfect. So I think he complimented the illustration a lot more than I did. And Miss Barbara, the choir sounded better the second time. So it was really good. Enjoyed them. I was wondering why the men were on the front, and then they had those bass parts, and that was really good. Thank the Lord for his blessings, God, people using their talents for the Lord. I appreciate that so much. We do have the correct sermon, even though your pastor didn't proofread his sermon, especially my title. The purpose of belongs to a church should be belonging to a church. We'll get there. We'll try to get the point across. And we will begin in just a second in Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 10, 25. Allie Joe and I were talking about getting excited a week from Tuesday, headed to Belize, just excited about seeing them and sharing a few surprises along the way. She's had a lot of questions. We heard about a sale at Pizza Hut, and we love Pizza Hut. So we drove yesterday. She said, "Daddy, I'll go with you." We drove to the Pizza Hut over in Crossett to get some pizza, and we were pulling out of there, got supper, bringing it back to the house. And she said, "Dad, is that a place where you buy insurance for dogs?" And I said, no. She said, well, why is it called shelter insurance right there? And so I had explained to her that that's just the name of an insurance company. And well, it makes sense. Out of the minds of a child, shelter insurance company, like that. She's full of questions about going to Belize and in first airplane ride ever, getting ready to go. It'll be good. Before I read, just a quick note, if you will, maybe just a commercial break. Okay, quick note. I want to look down here and see if I can find one. Been praying about this. We need to re-energize. It's been a year and a half since we've had what's called a faith promise speaker. But just, I know we have new people in the church, different visitors, different ones, but this is not for a visitor. This is just for church members. So if you're a guest here, thrilled to have you. This is for church members. And this particular deal is only for church members who are currently tithing. If there's a church member and they're not tithing, we just encourage them to pray about it. And let the good Lord lead you and guide you. And he will. But anyway, if you are a church member and you are currently tithing, there's a neat deal. It's really cool the way it works. And our church is kind of surprised about it, how it worked. And what it is, it's called Faith Promise. It's not a program. It's a principle. It's Faith Promise Mission Giving. And it's just for church members who tithe. And if you do that, and we want you to pray about saying, would you be led, only if you feel led of the Lord, to just pray about an amount to give that goes 100% to missions. And a lot of our church members that are currently doing it, what we do is we've averaged every year and a half passing out little commitment cards. And what it is to help our missionary committee kind of plan and how many more missions that we can support. And when we pass out our cards and we get them back, a lot of cards will say, I can give $2 extra per week. And you don't put your name on or anything. It's just a dollar amount. And some people I've seen people put $10 a month. I've seen some people put the biggest one in our whole church out of all the cards that was the biggest one that came back was $50 more a week. That's pretty significant, you know, $200 a month. A lot of ones, twos, fives, and tens. And what it is, 100% goes to missions. And we almost more than doubled our mission given through this program. And if you don't want to put it in this envelope, this is usually for cash, like I put in there a while ago. Or you can put it on your check separately, Faith Promise Missions. You know, and Ms. Phyllis knows what it is. And it's really cool. And you know what our church did last year? Our church, just through this, gave an extra $25,000 to missions. Approximately, I'm rounding up, it's 24 or something, da-da-da-da-da. But that's cool. That is cool, and we've just been able to reach out and help. And you wouldn't think $5, $10 would add up. And it's all, we don't send to some other big program either. We send it directly to the guy. You know, that's the way our church operates, which is also really cool. We stay right in touch, and different things come up. So I just want to put that out there for you to pray about. I want to keep it in the mind of, you know, our people who already are doing it. And every now and then it slips by you. And we ask, and what's really cool, a lot of people think we're taking away from our regular giving. And you know what happened? People started praying about their regular giving, and our regular giving went up. Man, well, isn't that kind of the way the Lord works? And my whole purpose of this morning's message is, what benefit can you and I get out of belonging to a church? That's the whole purpose of this sermon this morning. Why belong to a church? Why be involved in a church? Now some people belong to a church, but they don't get involved. Is there more to church than just sitting on a pew? A lot of you do more than just sit on a pew. But some of you may feel like, well, it's kind of like we did have a bench area yesterday for the people who aren't in the game. You know, and those guys, I've got some of them. I mean, there was one fella, I want to play. I don't want to sit out. And the cool thing about Upward Basketball, it has a regimented substitution system. Unlike like little league sports or even high school or junior high basketball, no player ever, if you do it correctly, if you do the substitution correctly, no player ever sits out back-to-back quarters in Upward Basketball. I mean, and they all want to play. And another, they all get equal playing time throughout the entire year, no matter their skill level or anything. It's designed to instruct and inform the basics and the fundamentals of the game, and they all get an equal shot at it. But there's one kid, he was jumping up and down on my team, my younger team. I was playing Darren Seaman. And thank the Lord his dad was there, because he would not have liked Coach Reese what he would have said. But, you know, I've dealt with players like that, and I treat them like my own. And so his daddy was much nicer. And so he didn't know it, but he got a dose of grace by his dad being there. And, but he's wanting the ball. He's wanting to play. I want to shoot. I want the ball. You know, you can go selfish mode that way, but at least he was wanting to play. But there's a lot of church members who I want to come and I want to sit on the bench. I want to be the one that never gets in the game. I want to be the one that never gets coached. I don't want to be on, don't put me in, please. I don't want to play. I just want to sit on the bench. As our old coach Churchill used to say, sit there with splinters in your rear end. As we sat on the wooden benches. Isn't that an opposite attitude? I mean, I'm using it as kind of as a mild exaggeration here, a hyperbole, and just showing us that, you know, a lot of times there's a difference between just coming to church and being involved in church and being involved in the game. This great verse in Hebrews 10:25 says to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See what? The Word of God says in the Old Testament that the young man should serve the Lord in his youth, lest the evil days come. What evil days? When I'm not as young anymore, when I'm not as blessed as Brother Norman, and I can get around whenever I'm on up in years, and I can still do and still go, and I'm going to serve the Lord till God calls me home. That's the attitude that ought to prevail in our hearts. From a negative viewpoint, a lot of people miss the purpose of a church. Now, I put in here, we're not to serve the world. Now, that doesn't mean that a church can't do good civil programs, such as, you know, to feed people or to clothe, have a clothing ministry. But that's not our purpose. That's a great outreach. That's a good tool. Upward Basketball is our entire purpose. You know, basketball is not the purpose of the church, but we're using it as a community outreach, if you will, to expose the message of the gospel to others. If we were to leave, you have two, you know, in our Upward people will tell you this, there's a balance there. And every church can get out of balance. If we do the sports part and leave off the ministry part, we're out of balance. And then if we just bring them here and say, well, we just want to preach to you, but we're not going to play ball. Well, then we're not coming. That's why you have to balance it out. You have to have a balance of, if you will, service with ministry, or the biblical, scriptural end of it. So, if all you do, it's kind of like that old saying, teach, you give a man a fish, you fed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, and you fed him for a lifetime. If you just feed somebody and clothe somebody, then all you did was help them physically. But if you feed them and clothe them and tell them about Jesus, then you've helped them physically and spiritually. So I put in there, I've seen churches use and abuse our gathering. So we have, 190, 200 people here this morning, and you're hearing, what if all I did, and I've heard preachers do this, let me tell you what I saw on Fox News. Let me tell you on civil rights and this and that, and let's tell you how to vote and this and that. I think we ought to, only thing I ought to preach as far as politics behind a pulpit is morals. And if you preach morals, that'll knock out a lot of candidates. So just stand for morals and different things like that. But that's not the purpose of this pulpit. You see, and those things are good. We need to stand for morals. We need to be for clothing people, lobbying against war and pollution. I'm not for certain types of war. I'm not for pollution. I'm definitely not green, but I'm not for pollution either. And we're not to rule the world. There's been a lot of people use religion to try to conquer other states. Our job as a church is not to fight the world or other religions. I've seen preachers stand up in a pulpit and actually condemn every other religion and group besides their own. Folks, we don't have to do that. You don't have to fight against the world. Just stand for God and the natural things that we're against. I mean, if you stand for this, you're against homosexuality. If you stand for this, you're against abortion. If you stand for this, you're against gambling. If you stand for this, you're against homosexuality. And all types of sin, all you got to do is just stand for this. And that's what this pulpit is for, just to stand for something. And everything else will fall in line. And then the last two on the negative end of it is not to imitate the world and not to isolate itself from the world. Two extremes that I've seen there. How would a church imitate the world? Well, I think we try to guard what's preached from this pulpit. So I don't want to imitate the world. In other words, now, we've shown movies. I remember even the first time that I came in view of a call on January the 9th, 2005. And I remember Brother Norman making the announcement, next Sunday night we'll be looking at the movie The Passion of the Christ, which was 5 years ago, or 6 years ago now. It was very famous and did a good job, I think. I don't think anything could be perfect, obviously. But did a good job of portraying the last 12 hours of Christ's life and his suffering. And that was all, that's the meaning of the word passion, the suffering part that he went through. But anyway, and so, movies are a great medium, skits and dramas are a great medium, but we guard, we watch what we show and the music we stand for. So we're not to imitate the world. We shouldn't let worldly things creep into, if worldly things creep into our homes, they'll eventually creep into our church. And so we kind of guard that and watch that. So we should have God-honoring songs. We should have God-honoring preaching. We should have God-honoring teaching. I remember one time dealing with a Sunday school teacher that all they did was... this was Sunday school class for the teenage department. Obviously not here. Turn on country music and drink chips. Eat chips and drink Cokes and talk about their week. What? Yeah, I think I will. Hang on. Let me just get on another pet peeve of mine. And you can lobby against it, but you can know my opinion. And pretty soon, pretty quick, two weekends from now, we're going to have the Super Bowl. Okay, Super Bowl. And there's some churches that turn out for that event. Now, don't go off leaving here this morning saying, Brother Michael is against all these. No, I'm just going to stand for something and let everything fall where it may. But to me, that's going past that line. I think we just need to have church. Okay? Now, some churches turn out early, and I understand that. But I think we're imitating the world. That's my point. We're imitating the world. And I don't see how you can, you know, we may in our home, and I have plenty of times. And you don't think it was hard for me in all those years? Man, so many Dallas victories in a Super Bowl, isn't that right, Chuck? It just was awesome. It's been so long ago, though. And, you know, so my church members are skipping church, and I'm having to be there. They're not a bigger Dallas fan than I am. But to me, you go home and we watch it, and the best commercials are the ones they pay the most money for, which are the beer commercials. Yep. They're the most entertaining and all of that. I'd be lying if I said anything different. But I'm not for changing the evening service for that. And I understand there's nobody in here any bigger sports fan than your pastor. But that's the way I feel. So you see what I mean? You say, well, I just can't get over it. I can't not go. Get over it and grow up spiritually. We're imitating the world. And that's just again, that edge is slipping. And then let's don't isolate ourselves. Some churches go so far the other way. Some churches just bring in all kinds of stuff. They don't guard in. They don't have any gates. They don't have any security measures. Anything can come in. The other extreme is to isolate yourself from the world, which means wait a second. Before y'all come in, I'm going to check your pedigree. You know, I want to know who you are. And we only allow visitors if they meet certain criteria. Okay? And guests. And so, I mean, there are some churches like that, and they have such legalistic, horrid criteria that nobody can join their church. You know, and we got, one, two, three, Mo and Larry, Susie and Q, and we got this, and we're satisfied with our seven until Jesus comes. And, you know, and they'll be so happy with that. Okay? Moving on to the next point. From a positive viewpoint, what is the purpose of belonging to a church or being part of a church? This is a great, great scripture in Revelation chapter 2. This church that Jesus was writing through the Apostle John, he said, remember therefore from where thou art fallen. It says whence or where thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. And else I will, getting tongue tied, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. What was the verdict against them? Verse 4. Had left their first love. So, you know, and if you read this entire letter, which is just, I think, verses 1 through 7. Yeah, just seven verses to this church. They were doing everything right. They had a good youth ministry program. They had a good Sunday school program. They had, basically, I'm elaborating, but they said, you're standing for truth, you're standing for doctrine, you're standing for right, but you have left your first love. You don't love anybody. And folks, so a church should love people and love God. As a matter of fact, that is what in one smart aleck lawyer asked Jesus one time, well, what is the greatest commandment, huh? And he said, well, I'll tell you, to love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law. By the way, if you love God, will you go to church? If you love God, will you give? If you love God, will you be involved? If you love God, I want to get off the bench and get in the game. And I won't be mean and gossip about people and talk about them on Facebook and run them down and call them every name in the book and do this and do that. If I love people. Matter of fact, the great, I just read, kind of quoted to you, or coded to you, really, that scripture. Matthew 22 is the great commandment. Don't turn there, but turn to the other one, which is John 15. What is the purpose of the church? Right before Jesus died, right before they arrested him, he was giving some last-minute instructions to his church in John 15:12. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if what? If you do whatsoever I have commanded you." And so if you want to... So basically he's saying, you know, I was very tickled by the governor of Alabama getting in trouble because he said, if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ as my Savior, you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you're not, I want to be your brother. And his remarks were taken all out of context. And I knew where he was coming from, but if you're not a Christian, I guess those words could be offending. I mean, the Muslim society director was outspoken. The other thing, people were being outspoken against him. But, you know, and one commentator said, well, in Alabama, where there's a Baptist church on every street corner. And I guess that's the reason he got elected. But you can't take Jesus' words out of context, because saying you ought to love each other. And by the way, guess what? You will not spread the gospel. You won't tell anybody about Jesus outside of this rectangular building here. You won't say a word about Jesus if we don't love each other. How can we love somebody who's lost if we can't love our brothers and sisters in Christ? That's the last minute. Think about it. I'm about to go. I'm about to die. Let me give you some last words. Pay your bills. No, he didn't say that, did he? What did he say? To love each other. And you're my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. Well, moving on to the next point, he also wants us to spread the gospel. Now, Mark's account, you don't have to turn over there, I'll quote it to you real quick. Mark's account of the gospel is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the word creature in the King James, it just means every created thing. Everywhere. I remember seminary instructor, Brother Chapman, saying, you know, if you are a God-called preacher, you want to preach. And he had said, go out there. If you don't have a preaching assignment, stand on a stump in the middle of the woods and preach to the raccoons and rabbits, which is around here, you'd have plenty of good audience, you know. There's plenty of raccoons. Just go to any deer stand. Come and eat my corn. You know, and stuff like that. And then I remember reading, I just got through this book. And the name of the book, it's a long title, and recommended to Trey, and he's been reading it, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day, which is talking about Benaniah in 2 Samuel 23, who chased a lion in a pit on a snowy day. I mean, this guy's wild. He's crazy. He's doing, Mark Batterson, he started a church in Washington, D.C., and he is talking about his experiences, and he went to a seminary in Missouri, and he said it this way. He said, I wasn't getting any preaching gigs. And so he wasn't getting any preaching appointments. So he said, well, I'll just go to the local nursing home and see if they have any openings. So he went to the local nursing home, and he said, do y'all have any openings? He said, yeah, you can come every week at this particular time. And he said, you know, you go to a nursing home and preach, and half of them will be asleep. But he was enjoying getting to preach anyway. And then one day a lady stood up and just started undressing right there in front of him, you know, and said, he said, you ain't ever preached to an audience till you had a woman get up and start taking off her clothes, yelling, get him out of here, get him out of here. Now, that's crazy church service right there. But guess why he was at the nursing home? Because he wanted to preach. You know, and so he wanted what? I mean, I see him all the time. You can ask Trey. I won't mention any names, and he shouldn't either. But there's guys up here at the seminary that they don't have a lick of preach in them. I don't recommend them anywhere. You know, and they want to come, they want to study the Bible, they say, I'm called to preach, and every time you try to get them to preach, they don't want to preach. I don't think they're much of a preacher. But I'm not going to say any names, but that's the whole purpose of the belonging to a church, is a desire to get outside these four walls and tell people about Jesus. Go ye into all the world. And when He gave that commandment, He wasn't giving it to 12 guys. Because if He gave that commandment to 12 guys, that commandment would have died with the 12 guys. So guess what? God gave that commandment to His organization called a church. And every church since then that practices that Bible and follows Jesus will want to do that. And that entails what we're doing in Belize, and that is starting other churches. Because guess what? If we are God's sheep, so to speak, and He's the great shepherd. Last time I checked, biology. Taylor's got biology at UAM this year. She said she made a good grade on her first quiz this semester. That's always encouraging for the parent. And last time I checked, biology, sheep begat sheep. Is that kind of the way it works? Yeah. So therefore, if we're sheep, we're supposed to reproduce. Now, some of you are taking that literally and having bigger families. Okay. Not, he's talking spiritually. And we ought to reproduce. Tell other people about Jesus. They come to know. Guess what? When somebody gets saved, guess what happens? They become your brother and sister in Jesus Christ, which is what Alabama governor, the illustrious governor, was alluding to. Okay? And then, we got this, and I still got a few more minutes on my clock and yours. And guess what? Let's get this last point in. You're talking about some good verses. I challenge you. If you have a concordance, or if you have an iPhone, download you a free Bible app and read every verse this afternoon. Just look it up on your computer. Some of you have it. If you don't, I put one on your computer for free. I've got one. I own it, so I can share it. A little old simple Bible program, very simple. And but anyway, look up every time you see the word care, C-A-R-E. In the New Testament, and I'm just going to share with you three. It's a cool study. May turn it into a sermon series one day, but now I've just got you for a few minutes. Let's look at these in order. 1 Corinthians 12. Cool Bible study. Great. If you have a Thompson Chain reference, that'll do it for you automatically. That's a type of Bible, by the way. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, 25. Let's fly through these. All right. He says here, and the whole purpose of this chapter is a local body needs to be in unity. Wouldn't that make sense? Have you ever heard of a basketball team or a football team that was bickering? Man, and I know I'm using a lot of sports analogies, but it's me, and plus it's that time of the year. And that's crazy. And I know y'all have heard of churches that, just some things aren't working right. And he says here in 1 Corinthians 12, 25, that there should be no schism or splinter or split in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Have you ever heard of being on the same? You're all on the same team. The devil is the enemy. God is our coach. Here is the playbook. Let's go into all the world. Move on to the next one. 2 Corinthians 7. Just a few pages over. 2 Corinthians 7. And verse 12. Also, you can go ahead and put your finger on chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 7:12 says this. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong. Talking about the fellow who was making a mockery of the church morals. nor for his cause that suffered the wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. So even Paul, being the one who originally started the church at Corinth, he cared for us, so we ought to care. Folks, I hope every church in Ashley County that I'm not in competition with Calvary, First Baptist Church in Hamburg, or Gardner, or going out here down 82. Any church that preaches the truth, we're not in competition with. We're not. I want them all to be successful. If a church stands for the truth, I want them to be successful and grow and have lots of baptisms and folks. Because why? We're on the same team. We serve the same God. And that's what Paul was, an outsider writing to that local body. Now, he started them, sure. Move on to the next one. 2 Corinthians 11. Again, the word care, verse 28. Besides those things that he's talking about, if you back up to about verse 22, there were people that were running Paul down saying he was an imposter or he didn't meet the qualifications. And about verse 22 on down, he says, listen, I've been through everything. Man, I've been whipped, I've been beat, I've been shipwrecked, I've been have all this on me. And besides everything physically, verse 28 says, I care for all the churches. And it burdens me when churches don't do right. And then, if you keep going, these last two are good. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, he sent a fellow to help them. He was in prison, by the way, when he was writing this. And the church sent him a man, Epaphroditus. And they helped him out. Now Paul is turning about, doing the same thing back to him. He says, I'm going to send Timothy to you. And he cares, verse 20 says, he cares for you. And then 4:10 says this, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now at the last, your care of me hath flourished. You've sent me help. It says here, back to Timothy. I just want to hit on that a second. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He's sending them Timothy. He cared. What church was talking about having a... I'm going to go ahead and get Brother Norman and our musicians to start this way. just share. And I understand people care about Promised Land. They don't want anything to happen to Promised Land. They don't want anything to... We love our unity and we love our outreach. We love our team spirit. We have team spirit. We're all on the same page. And some, and I understand completely, have expressed concern over... we talked about putting a permanent PowerPoint. Well, I've been using PowerPoint at Promised Land for 6 years, but we've been using the temporary setup. Yeah, like my hand motions? Temporary. And a lot of people express concerns about getting permanent PowerPoint. And what will it do? Well, number one, as long as I'm your pastor, because I care, and I think y'all know it by now, surely. If I'm not, I've failed miserably as your pastor. We're not going to do anything that's going to hurt this church. I'm going to protect this church with my life. So, rest assured. And if we make changes in anything, they'll be slow. And I, again, I know the concern that was expressed to me is because people love Promised Land. You know what I mean? Your pastor does too. And I think all it is a tool. And I think I've used it wisely. And that's what I wanted to share with you. I think those last two verses that I shared, if you don't care about what happens to Promised Land, we need to get you on the same team. If you don't care, because it ultimately is a reflection on Jesus. You see what I mean? It's the word care. And I just want to use that as an illustration, not for a lobbying point, because Brother Michael wants permanent PowerPoint. That wasn't the point. Brother Michael cares about Promised Land, and I don't want anything to happen to Promised Land that our church can't handle, that our church is not ready for. We've moved forward. We've sent out a missionary. I mean an American, not just a national. We've done a lot of different things. We've almost quadrupled our overall mission giving if you compare it to 6 years ago. Unbelievable. It's been amazing. And as one person said, I've enjoyed the journey, and let us continue down the journey together. Moving forward with our eyes on Jesus for the Lord. It's all about Him. As we all stand and turn to page number
382.